Hey everybody, you are listening to the Word Vomit Podcast, the podcast where we talk all things pop culture, from video games, movies, music, television, and comic books. I'm Randy Kings, and I don't do this by myself. Right now I have the undeniable, the irreplaceable, Sarah.
Hi everyone.
Now, if you're listening to this, we really appreciate it. We thank you, Word Vomiteers, for taking the time to listen to our podcast. But if you could do us a huge favor, because we do this for free for your listening pleasure here at Garage Studios, tell your friends about us, like us on our Facebook page and our Instagram page, and maybe if you can get them subscribed, that would be fantastic.
Do it.
All right. Now, everyone listening, you'll probably notice that it's only just the two of us here, myself, Randy Kings, and then Sarah. We are down a few folks. Emmanuel is actually on a trip right now.
Yeah, he is.
He is at Evo. He is... Las Vegas right now. If people don't know, Evo is a fighting game tournament here in North America, one of the biggest ones actually in the world, and he's competing there, which I'm wishing him the best of luck.
That's what he's been training for.
Yes, he has been training for that. That's why he's been out for the last few weeks. And then of course Sean Vander, he is out because, as we've mentioned in our last podcast, he's actually having surgery. He's actually out of surgery right now.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Yes, he actually messaged me saying he's doing great. If you guys can, you know, check us out on our Facebook page and you know, say what's up to him, tell him hi, tell him how's that anesthesia feel, because I think he's a little loopy right now. Yes. Actually, this recording almost did not happen because I myself was in the hospital for quite some time, as Sarah knows. I had a little bit of a infection in a cut in my leg that went a little out of hand.
Way out of hand.
Yes, which now is resulting in me doing this recording with my leg on a stool that's wrapped up pretty nicely, I think.
That has a pen border around it.
Yeah, because that's where it's showing where the infection was and stuff.
I guess
it is, you know, it's not as bad as people think it is, but I also didn't want to, you know, let it get out of hand. Like, I didn't want to lose a leg.
Well, that and your doctor said, you need to get hooked up to an IV right now.
Yes, basically. The doctor's like, yeah, we need to get this fixed. I'm like, okay, do what you got to do.
And be lonely.
And be, you know. I got bored, and I'm not a person who, like, I'm used to talking to people quite often. That's one of the reasons why I do this podcast. I like conversing, and I was really bored in my hospital room.
Well, when I went to go visit him, I was like, wait, where's your switch?
Yes. You know, that is the first thing. I actually, on the way, because I left work, and then I started heading to the hospital. I thought I should go home and drop off some stuff, pick up some things. I grabbed some comic books. I grabbed the graphic novel for Atomic Blonde, which, you know, comes out soon in theaters, but it's actually a comic book first. And I thought, do I want to bring the Switch? And I really thought hard about it. And I didn't. And then I'm kind of glad I didn't, because they hooked the IV to the top of my hand and my left hand, and that would make playing video games really hard. Like, I thought about it. I'm like, I position my hand. I'm like, nope, I can feel the syringe in my top of my hand, like, bending, and it actually hurt. I'm like, no, can't do that. I really thought hard about it.
Oh, for the sake of healing.
I know. It's like, oh, I should have bought something to play with. But, you know, I had my iPhone and a tablet and movies to watch in the hospital.
And Instagram selfies.
Yes, a lot of Instagram selfies, taking pictures of stuff. Because I had to, you know, I'm trying to make light of the scenario. I think about it, I'm like, I really could have had, if I even decided to mess around, I could have, you know, let this get out of hand a lot.
Like, yeah, no.
Could have lost a leg.
I don't think your wife would appreciate that.
No. I actually started getting a little anxious when they said, hey, we need to make sure that this infection didn't get into your bloodstream. So.
Wow.
Yeah, actual legit fear.
Yeah, I'd be scared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I appreciate you coming to visit me. That was really awesome.
Anytime.
Yeah, I mean, Tara was really nice. She came by and got me cookies. It was very funny. I felt bad because she showed up right when, like, my mom and my sister showed up. Lupe showed up with my, it's like all at the same time. I'm like, this is fantastic.
Why would you feel bad?
Well, because it's like, oh, there's all these people like around here. I'm not as lonely as I sound like when I'm on the.
Like, you lied. You said you were lonely.
I know, social media posts saying, oh, I'm so sad here. It's so tough being inside a freaking hospital bed.
Three other people in the room.
Oh. What made it really difficult was being stuck to an IV, because I had to, like, coordinate when I wanted to go to the bathroom, because I couldn't, like, just get
go
up.
In your go. Bed?
Well, there was that option. They gave me, like, the pee bucket, I guess.
Oh,
and I was like,
pan?
It wasn't a pan. It's like a thermos. It looks like a thermos type scenario with a handle, like a water water bottle with a handle on it. And I was like, I don't want to use that because it's gonna be really awkward. And I thought about it. There was a moment where I'm like, do I want to do that? I'm like, no. I rather I'm gonna wait until I'm unhooked and then go. Yeah, and then go to the bathroom in the actual bathroom.
Imagine if the nurse walked in when you were doing that. I'm sure they see it all the time.
They're very polite. Everyone asks, hey, they knocked very softly and would say, hey, can I come in? I'm like, yeah, come in. Do whatever you got to do.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was my last 3 days, I guess. And almost didn't. For a second, I was like, am I going to get out in time to do the podcast?
I know. I was like, why are you so concerned?
I want to do that. I have
an infected ankle. Like,
well. I mean, it's a thing. It's part of my schedule. I like keeping it. It keeps me grounded. If I didn't do it, it might make
something
me feel weird.
Something to focus
on. Yes. I want to be something happy. You don't have to worry about my leg being taken away from me.
I mean, you did have, you know, your backup plan for that.
Well, yes. The robot leg, which a robot foot, left footy, as I called
left
it.
Left footy. There we go.
I told the emergency room doctor about that. And she says that the technology now is not good enough to compare to... nature. She goes, Mother Nature's better than that. I'm like,
but isn't Mother Nature Bluetooth?
I'm like, well, isn't there like an Olympic runner that has a like fake leg? I mean, come on. I'm just saying, come on, Doc. But no, they're very nice and not nice, but they were very informative and let me know that I would not lose my leg. They're like, there's no way you're losing it, but we're gonna make sure your infection gets out of hand. So I'm like, okay, my leg is fine, I guess. A little
but your
swollen.
Blood might be poisoned.
No, it's not. And I also learned not diabetic. Other things I was concerned about.
Nice.
Not diet. They're like
while you're there, right?
Yeah, while I'm there, because got to make sure. They're like every question was, are you diabetic? I'm like, no. I hope I don't find that out.
I don't think so.
But yeah, they told me I'm not. So I'm free and clear. Randy King's is okay.
Sweet.
Walking with a limp, and taking lots of medication, and lotion for the rash and everything I got from there. But yeah, exciting news. For people who go to Disneyland or like Disney in general, because, you know, the D23, which if people don't know is their big event, like their I guess it's like Disneyland or DisneyCon.
DisneyCon.
Essentially, that's what it is. They did a lot of announcements like Star Wars stuff. Obviously, they're going to talk about all the new live action Disney movies are coming. I guess I don't know if there's rumors of like there's supposed to be the Mulan Disney movie coming.
It's not a rumor.
It's
on their slate.
It is their slate, but like announcements of who's going to star in it, who's the director, when's the release date.
Yeah, I heard rumors that there wasn't going to be singing.
You know what? I heard that too, and I don't know if part of me is like, am I on board with that, or do I not
need the singing?
Do I not give a shit about that? Do I just want to see a very strong female lead?
No, I need the singing.
Beating the shit out of the Huns. That's what I want to see. Is that really what I want to see? I'm like, yes. I think that's all I care about. But
no, I need the singing. That's part of my childhood.
Okay.
I need the singing.
But my beef with that is, they did not give Leia Salonga a Grammy or an Oscar for the part she's, because her part version of the song is better in Mulan than the girl who did get the Grammy and Oscar for it.
Christina Aguilera?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? She sang it.
No. No. That's a no.
No. I loved it.
It's not even in the movie. It's in the credits. That doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
Not really. No, it does not.
It does.
It's in the
middle.
Leia
Salonga
sings it in the middle of the movie. She sings it like that's the part. That's Lea Salonga's voice. She's the singing voice of Mulan. How fair is that?
Well, she's also the singing voice of Princess Jasmine.
That's also true. And didn't get anything for that either. Although Disney did recognize her. She's like a Disney queen or something. They acknowledge her.
She is a Disney queen.
It's like, dude, she's freaking kick ass. Give her some award, not some fake Latin singing
she
Christina Aguilera.
She sounds the same.
I know, which is weird, right?
Because
she's like,
Belle doesn't.
No. Well, no.
Ariel does.
Yeah. I guess it depends on how your voice works and everything.
Yeah, that's
there.
True.
But anyways, with D23 happening, there's a lot of announcements. One of them, which I'm very excited about, is that Disneyland, they're making a new addition to Disneyland, which is Star Wars Land.
So exciting.
It is so exciting. They've had, you know, they talked about what they were going to do with it. Now there's actual footage released of Star Wars Land, which looks amazing. There's all kinds of it's definitely like looks like Tatooine, like as far as
it
like
does
the city.
Look amazing.
It looks fantastic. And the parts that I'm excited about, if you people are wondering where it's going to be, it's actually going to be just north of Frontierland. So there's things
missing. Wait, what?
Yes. So
Frontierland?
Yes, Frontierland. No one gives a shit about Frontierland, really.
What are you talking about? Everyone loves Frontierland.
Name two things you like in Frontierland that you're going to that you really care about. Name them. Right, exactly.
Whatever.
Right, exactly. The only thing I cared about in Frontierland was the saloon place. I don't know what it's actually called, but I like going to eat there because they're accommodating to me, my wife, and my child. And the Mark Twain steamboat because that's a place where my son can run around and I don't have to worry because he's on a boat. That's it. That's all I care about. There's things that were removed. Like my friend Tanya, who's a big Disney fan, she was upset that they're removing Big Thunder Ranch, is where they have those fancy barbecue. Like you had to get a reservation.
That place is the shiznits. I've never been.
Okay, see how fair is that? I've never been there because every time
but
I try,
lots of people told me that barbecue place is amazing.
I want to say it's probably average, but it's the best barbecue you're gonna get in Disneyland. I'm assuming that's what it is because it can't be that great. Like seriously.
The experience is great.
Well, you know what? You're going to get, freaking, I don't know, Coruscant barbecue place now. You're going to get the Sith Lord barbecue sauce on. I don't know. There's probably going to be a replacement where you're going to get your blue milk. You're going to have some Ewok or Jawa server to you. It'll be the same thing, except it's not Blue Thunder Ranch.
Okay, I would take that.
See, it's okay. I'm sure they'll have something there. I know there's some people who are upset that, but yeah, Star Wars Land, I mean, about time. It's about time.
How cute would that be, though? Little Ewoks.
Little Ewoks serving you food.
I guess it would have to be robotic, right?
For an Ewok to serve you food? No, because there's people in those costumes. You know that, right? Well, they weren't robots.
But yeah, but that's a lot of.
That's you. Are you saying that that you're not okay with midgets having a job?
No. I'm just saying they're. They're far. Okay, let's drop this before I dig a hole too deep.
Well, you can't get what? No, seriously, what's wrong with that? Are you upset? Is it because the costume would be cumbersome?
I'm upset.
Or the heat getting to them? I mean, actually, that would be terrible if they made people dressed as Ewoks serving you food in a barbecue place. It'd be so hot.
Yeah. On a hot day, it gets really hot there.
Yeah, it sure does. That's why I don't like going in the summer, even though the majority of the time I go to Disneyland, it's in the summer. It's going to be super hot. But yeah, Star Wars Land, they showed miniatures for it. If you guys check it out, I'm sure you'll find it online. But it looks really good. Like,
yeah, that model's amazing.
It looks really solid. It just reminds me of how I remember when I first saw Cars Land and thought, no way it's going to look like that. And then I get to Cars Land in Disney California Adventure.
Like, oh my God.
And it looks just like Radiator Springs looks just like that. So I can't imagine that the quality they're going to put into the Star Wars Land is not going to be any less. My wife asked, what are they going to do with some? Because I don't actually know where any of the rides are. Like, I don't know what kind of space they have for that. I know they had to take over some offices and parking areas to expand their park size itself. But she wanted to know where, Tomorrowland has Star Wars stuff in it. Like, there's a Star, they call it Star Wars Launch Bay. There's the Star Tours ride has been there for so long that they've recently updated. I'm like, what's going to happen? I'm like, could they move that? Yeah, I guess they could. I mean,
yeah,
it's a virtual.
I see that.
Star Tours is a virtual ride. Like, you sit in, you see a screen, you do this little movement, and yeah, that's it. I mean, it's a fantastic experience.
Yeah,
though.
I like that.
I love that ride. I was a little bummed when they made it into a 3D experience.
Oh, is it 3D?
It's 3D now. I don't know if you've been there in a while.
Mm-mm.
They updated it where it's 3D. You'll get multiple scenarios. They say it's like 72 combinations of your ride
right
now. And they included John Boyega is in it as Finn. He shows up talking to you in Star Tours, like, hey, what are you doing
fun
here? And the pilot was this character named, was it Max? He was the original one for Star Tours, but then they removed him, and it's R2-D2 and C-3PO taking over. It's very funny. You're like, what did they do? They're supposed to be like the maintenance team checking on the ship before it takes off, and then R2 accidentally activates the navigation, and you fly away, and then you end up in these scenarios where you can go to Coruscant, you can go to Hoth, you go to all these different places.
Okay, that's cool.
Yes. If you haven't been, I was against it until I went on it. I'm like, this is amazing. I love this ride. Now, it makes sense to me if they decide to move it into Star Wars Land.
That'd
be really
would
cool.
Make sense, because it's all in there.
It's all in that one spot now. But I'm just wondering, like, when does that happen? Like, I'm not a big fan of change, but if the change is good, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And now I can understand why they're thinking about, like we talked last week about how they want to basically give you a Star Wars experience,
mm-hmm.
where like you'd make a decision on something you're going to do if you decide to do it.
And like then a West.
Kind of like a Westworld scenario, except hopefully not as crazy. Like,
you can't shoot people.
I mean, you can, but it'll be like very kid friendly. Like, I'm not shooting any host type scenario or whatever else may happen in that. I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my head around a Westworld Star Wars themed experience.
So it's like a little role playing. A
little bit. And it's going to be based on like if you go multiple days, they'll say, hey, you're this guy. You want to join us on a rebel hunt? You join the Empire.
How would you join? We just get randomly picked?
I guess you could do something and say, hey, would you like to go on an adventure? I'm like, sure. What side are you on? Hell yeah. Take that, rebel scum. Imperial all the way. Just kidding. I'm not for that. And we'll be like, well, yeah, or Mandalorians. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the Empire does have a lot more money, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, that's what sways you?
A little bit. I mean, I saw how Jyn Erso lived. He had a fat life until he left.
About the Just Cause?
Just for comfort of living.
You would be the bad guy.
For the comfort of living.
You would.
I'm just saying for the comfort of living.
How are we related?
For the comfort of living, I'm just pointing out that her father, Galen Erso, had a fat life as an Imperial science officer. He didn't do anything necessarily evil, although he did help build
Yoda. What are you talking about? Yes, he did.
He was building a weapon, and then he decided against it because he thought, I can't have this. But then he ended up living on a farm after. I'm just pointing out the quality of life difference. I'm just saying, a lot of the times you're going to find people who are in the Rebel Alliance.
What about your conscience? Living,
I'm just saying as far as comfort living. Now, do I want to do that? No, of course not.
It sounds like you do.
I'm just saying as far as the comfort level. You look at how shitty the lives were for people who had joined the rebels, and then you look at the lives, although short-lived, there were Imperial officers. Just saying, just pointing that out, that obviously they led a better quality of life until they were killed, most likely by Darth Vader. Just pointing that out. I'm not saying that's going to happen in the Star Wars land.
Mm.
Hopefully it doesn't, but I'm really excited. I think it's supposed to... What was it? The date's supposed to be like in next 2 years. They'll probably have it finished. I don't know. I'm trying not to be too excited about it because I'm like, damn it, I need to go back to Disneyland again.
Well, it's going to take a while.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But yeah, other D23 news. They announced these couple of movies coming, but the one I'm excited most about really is the Wreck-It Ralph sequel.
There's a Wreck-It Ralph sequel?
There is a Wreck-It Ralph sequel where it's like, was it Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet? And they're going to have a bunch of characters.
Are the same people in it?
Yes. They're going to have, was it John C. Reilly? He's back, as well as Tudyk. Was Alan Tudyk coming back? I don't know if he's going to be in there. I'm sure he'll play a different character. They have him on tap for everything.
Yeah. He's like their lucky charm.
He's in a movie. You're going to have a good time. And then Sarah Silverman, because she was Vanellope Von Schweet, which I find weird that... You know, very outspoken, very funny, gutter mouth Sarah Silverman is in a Disney film as a Disney princess. She is a legitimate, because Vanellope Von Schweet is a Disney princess.
Right, she is.
Another exciting thing they announced is that because they're going to have Disney, Marvel, and a bunch of other of their properties appear in Wreck-It Ralph, they're also going to have the Disney princesses show up.
What?
In Wreck-It Ralph. So they have all the voice actors of modern
they're
Disney.
All the same?
All the same actresses. they're gonna like Mulan is gonna be in it. You know, Jasmine. All of them. They're all in there. Kristen Bell is there. They actually have a shot of them where all these princesses are gonna show up. And I was like,
wait. But why in Wreck-It Ralph?
Because I think it's just part of it. It's just part of the.
Because it's the internet. And it's a free for all.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Why not put them in there?
Okay.
But I'm like, hey, Mulan's gonna be in there. I'm like, sweet. Why not?
But they like hijack Amazon Video or something?
I'm trying to understand how the plot works, and at the same time, I keep reading, I keep getting a little confused. I'm like, why is this arcade game going to the internet? Why do I care? I don't. I mean, I really like the first Wreck-It Ralph movie.
Well, I'm sure you'll care once you start watching the movie.
Not really, because I didn't care. Like, I didn't care how they made the idea of how the arcade characters communicate to each other was through the power cord. In the first Wreck-It Ralph movie, I don't know if you remember, which I thought, that's dumb. Why would that do anything? That shouldn't do anything.
That's their like,
and then it became their hub. I'm like, they can't all go to the same power strip. Yeah, think about that. I'm like, why are they all going to the same power strip? is all the exact same one. And they're like, but aren't they all connected to separate? I'm like, I'm thinking about the arcade. I'm like,
well, maybe it's a power grid.
It's a power grid. I'm like,
that
eh.
They're all connected.
But again, I didn't care because, you know, I liked the movie. It was a fun movie. Mm-hmm. It was the best way you can make a movie about video games and have video game characters in it.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was actually really awesome. If anyone hasn't seen Wreck-It Ralph, you should watch it. It has a really good soundtrack, I think. I really enjoyed it. They also have all the...
It made me cry.
It's really good. I also like that they had character, like classic video game characters, and anyone who has a, like, Sonic the Hedgehog appears there, and the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog is the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog, like the actual voice.
They want to stay legit.
So, it's like, yeah, they did a good job of keeping... trying to keep it in line, which is really amazing because it's really hard. Because you have so many
integrity
companies.
Integrity of the video game.
Well, I mean, it's tough because companies, like, we've talked about it before, video game companies can be really protective of their IP. And they're like, right. They don't want to share that. Like, no. Like, I would laugh because
that's our bread and butter. What are you doing?
Because, like, I know the actor who the voice actor who plays Ken from Street Fighter. And, like, he told
do
me, he's
really?
Like, yeah, I do. He's like, Ruben, I've met him several times. I've had conversations with him and I'm friends with him on Facebook. Legitimately know him. It's like, yeah, I've met him several times and talked to him.
So he would know your name?
I hope so. I mean, I've talked to him at length about things. Like, when I worked at Capcom, he sat and talked to us at the Capcom store quite a number of times just to say hi.
So if you, like, went up to him, be like, hey.
I'm
like,
hey,
Randy.
He would at least remember that I worked at the Capcom store, at the very least. Okay. It's been a while since I've seen him, but I do know him.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like one of those things where I'd actually talk to him because I didn't he did a short film for a Street Fighter or a live-action Street Fighter film where he plays Ken,
mm-hmm.
and there's a part where he speaks Japanese because he's talking to Ryu and he's speaking in Japanese, and I laughed because I thought, holy shit, does Ruben Lanyon speak Japanese? I didn't know that about him. Did he actually?
Oh, does he actually speak Japanese?
He speaks Japanese, and when they do the Japanese version of the game with the Japanese voices, it's his voice. Like, he does it. And I was like, oh, and I had to talk to him.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, he actually has a whole commercial career in Japan. Like, for,
wow.
I want to say it was like for Mentos, but it's not Mentos. It's like the Japanese version. And it's him and this American. Yeah. And he.
In Japanese.
And it's him and this other, I think she's like a New Zealand woman, but they're talking in Japanese. And I'm like dumbfounded by that. Just dumbfounded. But in any case, Wreck-It Ralph, you know, Wreck-It Ralph 2 announcement was really awesome. A thing I just saw before actually started recording this was there is a Toy Story 4 coming.
Oh, I heard about
that.
And
I was like, I don't know if I want to see that, because, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it would follow the little girl, right?
I hope so, because I actually like the little girl, Bonnie.
She's way more creative than what's his name.
Well, I mean, she's it's a different time.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
They've built upon that. I love that. I love how she has.
Andy, that's his name.
Yeah, Andy. Well, I like what made me laugh is that she has a doll named Dolly. And I'm like, that's how I name things. I have a drone. What's my drone's name? Droney.
Yeah, that's true.
I named my drone Joni, because that's what I called him. But yeah, they have it, and they said that John Lasseter, who's been directing the previous ones, will not be directing this one.
What?
I don't know why. I didn't want to read too much into it, because I don't want that movie to be tainted for it. At the same time...
Is he producing it?
I'm sure he's producing it, and also they have Pixar's got huge staff. You know, they got squads to deal with
stuff. I keep forgetting that Pixar's, like, here.
Yeah, they're in Emeryville. We can probably, like... Have you ever done a tour there?
No.
I have. It's really awesome. Yeah, I can't post anything about it because you're not allowed to take pictures inside.
Makes sense.
And I can't say that I did take pictures. I can say that I know someone who did and they got in trouble for it. Yeah, I know. There's some cool stuff there too, which I may tell you offline about that. But yeah, it's a pretty dope place. You could at least walk out. You should drive to their location. Like, you could find their address and, like, just look.
Oh, I did
see.
That.
And no, but look, you can walk over there and, like, oh, here it is.
Oh, no, I didn't walk. I just drove by.
Yeah, you can get in there. I mean, they actually do movie viewing. If you know someone there, you can go and see their movies.
I don't know anyone there, so...
We'll talk about what we could do. It's hard, but it's not impossible.
All right, let's do this.
I know. We should totally get something going there. But yeah, the Toy Story 4, which I feel like Toy Story 3 was such a good ending, and I'm like, stick to short films. That's
right.
How I feel. I like the short films.
It's not necessary.
No. I mean...
But I guess they just don't want to let Toy Story go. No. I mean, the characters are really good.
Yeah. I mean, like...
That was such a nice ending.
It was a fantastic ending. Like, I was thinking about, like, especially that part when they're in the dumpster, or they're in the fire, and they're all holding hands.
I cried. I mean, They all knew that they were going to die. Sorry, I'm trying to look a
little teared. Yeah, I know.
Oh, and they just accepted their fate and held hands.
When Bullseye's struggling and then, you know, Woody grabs, tells him to calm down. Jesse starts asking Woody, what do we do? And when I saw that, and the first thing I thought was, die.
It's too real.
He's going to die. I'm like, but anyways, like, yeah.
You know, they're not going to die because not, the movie's not done yet.
No, it's not. But I thought, oh my God,
you're
what
lost
if it's
in
did?
That moment, fully and captured.
And then, you know, those three little aliens saved them.
Yep.
For anyone who hasn't seen Toy Story 3, I'm sorry that was a spoiler, but God damn it, come on, man. Toy Story 3.
It's been out for a while.
Watch that. Watch that movie. It's good. But yeah. Okay. All right. Now, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm going to start crying. It was a good movie, and that part was so good.
Do you need a tissue?
No. I'm gonna be okay. Fight through it.
Okay.
Anyway, the next thing I want to talk about, actually, is, we haven't talked really about it lately, just because that's the thing we just haven't talked about, but, like, in music news, I was actually having a discussion with my sister's boyfriend about streaming services. And
I love streaming services.
I know. I started using more streaming services. Like, I was on Pandora for quite some time, but I did
Pandora.
I did the free thing where it's like radio and you couldn't skip and everything. And
it's limited skipping.
Limited, yeah, yeah. Well, you could pick like twice and that's it. And I'm like, it's whatever. And then I started streaming. I got a hold of Spotify. I had gotten a subscription for that, and I really like it. There's a lot of cool things in there that I didn't expect. Mainly it was for comedy. Like, I like listening to audio comedy, which is really good for comedy albums. And then I started finding things that I didn't expect to see. Like hey, the original terribly 80s or 70s, 80s movie, Xanadu, with Olivia Newton-John and Gene Kelly. And I found that soundtrack in there, and I saved that, and that's like part of my playlist.
Wow.
I love that. I like that movie, and I like the music, and it's actually pretty solid to me.
Hmm.
I'm not saying that anyone out there should listen to it, but maybe you should listen to it. but I was just wondering about it, because, you know, there's like, you know, you have Pandora, Spotify, Napster?
That was Rhapsody.
It was Rhapsody, but now, like, was it they bought the name and they changed it? Is that how it worked out?
It's still the same service, but now they're just using the Napster name. They even sent out a survey for current users of Rhapsody, how do they feel about the Napster brand? Obviously, I said no.
You said no. You want to keep it as Rhapsody?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know anyone else. I think you're the only person I know that uses Rhapsody.
I've been using, my dad actually used it back when I was like, I don't know, 8th or 9th grade.
Wow. Your dad was hip.
It was so cool because you could actually download music and burn it on a CD.
Oh yeah. That was the
part of your subscription.
Oh, that was way back when burning.
But not illegally.
No, I know. I'm saying like that was the idea that you're burning music to a CD.
Napster. That's what they did.
But
LimeWire.
Oh my God.
On dial up was the worst, best thing ever.
Yeah. I feel like those services like Napster missed out on, had they had come, like this idea had come around in the broadband, like the more available broadband internet age, like I would not have had to wait an hour or wait, well, I would have had to wait like maybe 20 minutes to get an album as opposed to the day.
Well, I mean, they have streaming now.
No, I know now, but I'm just saying in general.
I mean, they always had streaming, but.
Like, no, I'm just saying, like, with Napster as a whole, like, the original way Napster was, it's like, oh, because everyone was on dial-up in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, I use Napster to download stuff.
It's like.
All the time.
It's like, no, I mean, well, now. But I'm just saying, like, how they kind of. I don't know, maybe they may have pushed the envelope for that, but I'm just saying how broadband internet back then would have been fantastic as opposed to, you know, being on dial-up.
No, I use it every day, all day.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I use my Pandora quite often, like when I'm driving, that's one of the things I listen to.
Really, Pandora?
Yeah. I'm sorry, not Pandora, Spotify.
Okay.
Why.
I have Spotify too until somebody broke into my account.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. But it tells you that, hey, someone logged on with this phone. I'm like, not mine.
Oh. Did you change your password? Do all that
security stuff?
Well,
Spotify was like, oh, well, we'll close down your account until you can prove it's yours.
Oh, wow.
But
really?
They also subscribe to the family thing. And I'm like, no. Who did this? What? So they gave my money back.
Okay.
That was cool.
Okay.
Of Spotify.
Yes.
On Spotify.
Hey.
But I like the library. The catalog for Rhapsody is much larger, especially when it comes to classical music.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that.
I researched it.
Okay. That's good. Well, you had to think of it because you're subscribing. There's so many things to subscribe to these days. It makes it very difficult. One of the things we had talked about, how is it really easy for, like, are you interested in any of the newer ones? Like, was it Jay-Z has his own
Tidal?
Yeah, is it called Tidal?
It is called Tidal.
Tidal, like, I don't know how good that is. I know, is that the one where it's like, that's the for artists by artists?
I have a friend who used it, and then he's like, nah, he preferred Apple Music.
Really? Interesting. Because yeah. I'm curious, because, like, you know, you had groups like Pandora, like, the ones, the long-running ones, like Napster, obviously has been around for a long time, Spotify and Pandora, but then you have these other ones. Apple Music is coming on the scene. I personally didn't care to do that because I'm already paying into one, and there's nothing on there that makes me want to have it. I know one way they're doing it is having
exclusivity.
And does that matter to you?
Not really,
because I know Jay-Z's like
Taylor Swift did that.
I know she tried doing that for, what service was that on? Was that for Tidal? Was that for
Apple?
Was that for Apple Music?
Because you could stream like one of her recent ones, but on Rhapsody I had to wait a year. But I didn't care.
Like, is there any group that you would wait, that you'd want to sign up for? Like, if they said, okay, I'm going to sign an exclusive deal here, this is it.
No, because there's just so much more music I can
listen
to.
You could be like, oh, yeah. All right.
Because I bounce around from all sorts of different artists. So
okay.
I'm like, well, I'll listen to something else until you come around.
See, I mean, that's, I guess, how I am. Because when I hear that Jay-Z's, like, my album's exclusively to this, I'm like, is there anyone else you got that's exclusive?
So I did, when I have Spotify... I have Spotify and Rhapsody/Napster now. And so I was paying for both because some things you could get from one service compared to the other.
Yeah.
Like classical music is really big catalog in Rhapsody.
Okay.
But there's a lot of European artists on Spotify. Because
okay. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's artists I look for that I'm like, for real, they have this in there? There's like, that's where I found... there's a fast version of We Will Rock You. I mentioned that in a previous podcast, mm-hmm. but Queen has, which apparently I didn't know, that's their original version of the song. I really love that track, and it's like, oh, hey, it's on, like, where do I find that? Looked, I'm like, oh shit, it's in Spotify.
Yeah, see, playlist. I find myself bouncing around because one thing will have something that the other doesn't.
Yeah,
so I just kind of go, and I'll do SoundCloud sometimes because someone will,
they'll put something up there.
And you're like, there. And I'm like, yes.
That's another thing, SoundCloud there, which is like that's a free service.
With a lot of indie stuff.
It's a lot of indie because it's user generated. A lot of it's like that. I mean, I remember finding there was a guy who he said it's inspired by Bay Area freestyle music.
Oh.
Like it said Wild 107, and it said Chris the Rebel. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I like Chris the Rebel. I had this playlist, and it was all these freestyle songs, and it was like, I was like, oh shit, I love this. I'm like, this is a me. I'm like, yeah. Stevie V, fuck yeah, dance track. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And funny note, I had played that when I went to Comic-Con a few years ago. And my friend's like, why did you pick this as a music list? I'm like, because the guy was inspired by, the 94.9 DJ Chris Torello. He goes, I know that guy. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, he was my boyfriend. This is my friend Precious. She's like, wait, you went with Chris the Rebel? I was like, yeah, his name is Cristobal. I'm like, wait, what?
You're like, what?
Like, really? I was like,
that deception.
I was like, well, oh, because that's all, the thing that got me was I didn't realize how much older she was than I am. I mean, not like she's a lot older, but I'm like, oh, I listened to him when I was in high school, in middle school and high
you
school.
You just aged yourself.
It's like, oh, but yeah, I thought that was super cool. And that's one of the things I like in SoundCloud, user generated. Mm-hmm. Anybody can post anything there. We're published on SoundCloud, so yeah.
Yay,
SoundCloud listeners, we love you. iTunes listeners love you too. But yeah, that's the thing that gets me is is it artist exclusivity or is it just songs that you like that are you looking for? I'm not artists, but song categories that you're more interested in.
Because
you say you jump categories, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm more surprised on the things that do appear on there because I'm curious as to why certain artists or certain music styles appear on one and not the other. I'm assuming it's availability. At the same time, I'm wondering, it's like, how hard is it really to get some of these songs?
That's true.
Like, what classical songs are... what classical songs were you not able to find on Spotify that you can on Rhapsody?
Well, it's just certain albums from
just certain
artists.
Okay.
They'll be there, but not on Spotify, or I had Apple Music for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Everyone did.
I know, but I actually paid for it.
Oh, you actually paid for it?
Because they suckered me.
Oh.
I know.
I get that. It's okay. Apple, freaking hook it up.
I thought it was going to be really cool, but I preferred Rhapsody and Spotify over Apple.
I thought it would be like their entire iTunes library would be at my disposal, but like, you know, I couldn't keep it per se. It's like, oh, I'm going to stream it this way, but it's not. Like, I didn't realize, right? That's how it works. Apple, at least that's how it was initially, was that your iTunes music wasn't, you're not getting songs from iTunes. You're getting it from whatever their streaming service
was.
It was
really confusing too, how to play my music versus stuff that they're streaming. And I'm like, wait, what? Well,
yeah, because the icon's different. I'm like, music. I'm like, oh no, I don't want Apple Music. I want the iTunes ones that I put on my iPhone.
I was like, I hate you, forget you.
Forget you, Apple Music. Which I think is the reason why a lot of people got mad about that. They weren't for it.
Well, the interface was just really confusing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess that's the thing. I looked for it. That's why I like Spotify so much, because, oh, hey, how do I search for that? Search.
It's also very library. Spotify is really social media friendly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you can share, or you can get...
you can mesh the songs to other people. It's like, or hey, see you what other people are listening to. But
which I like. That's how, like, oh, I didn't know how I heard about Star Wars having a... they did a thing called Headspace, which is their techno or their EDM album inspired by Star Wars. And a friend sent me a link. He's like, here. I'm like, oh, it's on Spotify. And he sent me a link. I played it. I'm like, this is awesome. I love this. Yeah. And so it's one of those things where I'm like, it's very user-friendly.
Yeah.
That's why
sharing
I like
music is really easy on there.
Oh, yeah. And I like they have their radio stations, they call it.
They have the best pre-done playlist.
Yeah, their playlist. They have. The only thing I didn't like was at some point, because I did it for comedy, and at some point they just kept repeating the same comedian like audio clips. Oh. I was like, so over this. I can't hear, you know, Zach Galifianakis tell the same joke about this thing again. It's like the third time in like half an hour I've heard this.
Oh, really?
Well, it wasn't that bad. It was more like, oh, out of 40 straight jokes, all of a sudden he repeats again. It's like, it's not terrible, but then, you know, they're short. But yeah, I mean, I guess I should give Rhapsody a try. I don't know how much, like, what's the cost on all this? That's what it gets down to me. It's like, ultimately, you're still going to be paying a lot. It's like streaming television shows between like all this different movie streaming or TV streaming.
Well, it depends on the package that you get.
Is there a different package for...
Well, there's the just you.
Oh.
And then there's you and someone else, and then there's a family plan.
I feel like that's such a ripoff. Come on, man. Bandwidth is not that bad. Can't be with the technology. Come on, man.
But I mean, that's what you're paying for. You're paying for streaming.
You are paying for streaming. That is true. My dad says, I'm paying for internet. Shouldn't I get the music for free? Those are his words. Those are my dad's words. I should be able to get
two
it.
Two different things.
I know. And I said, Dad, that's not the same.
That's not how it works.
No, 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 no. It's like, hey, I paid taxes for the roads. That means I should be able to take that car, right? No, that's not how that works, Dad. That's my dad. At least he understands now how radio works. Like, he's excited because now he understands he can look on a radio's. He can stream 107.7 The Bone to his computer, and like, oh, I can listen to it that way.
Oh, I just downloaded iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah. I started doing, that's another thing. It's like, oh, hey.
Because people kept going, oh, did you hear that new radio station? I'm like, I don't listen to the radio.
Actually, so I do listen to the radio, but it's like, oh, iHeartRadio makes it easier because you can do that way.
Well, there's just so many more channels or stations.
Yes, there's a ton.
Than I remember.
Well, yeah, there's so many that
are
like. And
my old ones that I remember are different now.
Which ones?
Like 98.1.
Oh, that's.
Breeze.
Yeah.
I was like, when did you pop up?
98.
And that throwback one that's like 102 point something?
It's 102.3? No, 102.1. 1.2, so, yeah, the throwback station.
Yeah, I was like, what? Where'd you come from?
Yeah,
I
think what it is that the different cities that host these radio stations were like, we need a radio station. Okay, let's do this one.
Oh.
Done. That's how I view it. I'm like, all right.
Oh, wait, it's not fact.
I don't, well, because they'll say they're from this area, and I'm like, that's, like, a lot of them are either, they're, like, in San Francisco. That's where a lot of them are. The big ones, you know, like, you know,
right.
Alice and Move In and 94.9 and 106 KML. They're all there. And then you'll have some that are, like, in the heart of San Jose. So-and-so, like, listen to where they say they're from. And you're like, do they just need a radio station? Is that what it is? Like, we have a free channel. Okay, let's get a station in there.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
That could totally, I mean, that's how I see it. I'm like, hey, if they have one. I mean,
back in the day, you used to listen to the radio station that went to Ohlone.
Ohlone's got a radio station?
I thought it was Ohlone. Maybe I'm thinking something else.
Well, Chabot has a radio station. It's like 90 or 89.1, something like that. We can ask Emmanuel because he
maybe
was.
Maybe it was Chappelle. Because he was calling because they were playing. They were playing an Eminem song.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't know. Is there a phone number?
And then it stopped.
Okay.
And I was like, what happened? I was really jamming. And my husband's like, what? We were both jamming to that song and they stopped it. So we called them and they were like, oh, I'm so sorry. We're going to play it right after this next song. And I was like, yes.
Oh, because they didn't have much left. That's really funny. That is.
Yeah. It was awesome that someone actually answered.
Yeah. That is. We'll probably have to talk to Emmanuel a little bit about that because he worked at the radio station at Chabot. Like, I actually been on the show with him a couple times. I don't remember there being a phone number. I do know that their signal is really weak. Like, you'd have to be in. Probably
yeah, it was weak.
Okay.
But I don't know if it was Chabot.
If it's Chabot. I mean, a lot of college radio is like that.
This is like 10 years ago, but.
Well, I think they have the station now. They're probably streaming at this point. They're probably like, yeah, we got a channel on iHeartRadio. Booyah.
Right?
That'd be actually really awesome to do that.
Yeah, I would be interested to ask him about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess my whole thing is, for me, I don't know if there's any band I would care enough about. Be like, oh, yeah, I totally want it. Like,
I mean, if I cared enough about the band, I would just buy the album.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's why I was like, I don't care. Like, yeah.
Like
I would
the Deftones, I would just buy the album.
It's like, oh, Daft Punk is doing that. I'm like, well, I'm just going to. But I mean, if it's only the only thing that would make me mad is if it's only available digitally. That's like what Jay-Z did. He made his album only available digitally and through Tidal,
which not even on vinyl.
You know what? Maybe, but very doubtful. Like, I mean, he's trying to. It's his service, so he's trying to do whatever he can to get it off the ground.
Monopolize his music, yeah.
And
get it.
I mean, go for it. He doesn't have a deep pockets like Apple to or even Amazon. Amazon has a music component. And they have deep pockets because they don't. That's not their main thing. It's just an extra thing. Yeah. So they don't. They're like, let's throw this in there. Does it work? Or is it selling well? But we have enough shit we're making money on that it's okay. Jay-Z's like, I mean, he's got money, but it's not.
He's like, I want this to work.
It's not the I don't give a fuck money. he invested a lot, and this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I probably like, if I saw bands like Daft Punk, really, if they did something like that, I'd be like, fuck, I guess I gotta subscribe. They better have a download component so I can just download the track and then be like,
really?
I'm done. I probably, for Daft Punk, I really like Daft Punk. They're really awesome.
You wouldn't just buy the album?
If it wasn't available, like, if they did what Jay-Z had done and said, I'm not gonna release it, at least not initially, I'd be like, I guess I'll download digitally now. I mean, really, I remember I did buy Random Access Memories. I bought it digitally, and then I bought the CD. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to buy the CD. I like having a physical copy. Done.
Do you do that with all your favorite albums?
More or less. Yeah. More or less. I try to, if the CD's available, I'm going to buy it.
They're just like backups, right?
It's like, yeah, I like this. I also like looking to see who made it, like, although. The cool cover.
Don't you get a digital copy?
Not every service does that, which is very disappointing.
No, I mean when you buy the album.
Oh, does when it comes with the digital copy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I never look at that. I mean, some things I do.
I know my Muse one did.
I mean, I guess. I mean, that's another thing. I guess I would have to look into. But I don't know. Like, if Daft Punk comes out with a new album, which the rumor is that they are sometime soon, or at least touring. I want them to tour so bad around here so I can see them. So mad. I went like, oh, the closest I got to see is, what was it, when they performed at the Grammys with Kanye West.
Oh, right.
That was like the first time I saw him on stage. I'm like, that's super awesome. Oh, there was Kanye.
I know. I was like, Kanye.
Well, because he's their track harder, better, faster, stronger. And I'm like, no, they just Daft Punked him up. And that's it. Done.
Fantastic. Sure did.
They did with the glasses and everything. I'm like, he looks great. Okay, I'm done. I don't need to hear anything else from you. I can skip the rather part where he sings not Daft Punk songs. So, yeah, in other music news, I don't know if you've heard, there is a Queen biopic movie coming out called Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
Which I'm excited for a little bit because I'm actually
Is it a serious biopic?
I think it's supposed to be serious because the people that got in it, because the part that I don't like is the director is Bryan Singer.
But he's your favorite.
He is not my favorite director. I mean, I used to give him a pass because I really liked the first X-Men movie. I liked the second one. And then he did Superman Returns, which was not great. And then...
Wait, he did Superman Returns?
Yeah, Superman Returns is the movie he left the X-Men franchise for because he couldn't do both. So he couldn't do X-Men 3, so he did Superman Returns, which there's parts of Superman Returns I like. Like, I think Brandon Routh did a fantastic job with it. I thought visually it looks cool. I think they could have picked a better actress to play Lois Lane.
Who played Lois Lane?
Kate Bosworth.
Oh, yeah.
She was not... I just didn't... You know, she was too, like, soft for me. Lois Lane's a tough chick.
Right.
And I can imagine even after, you know, having a child and everything, she still would have been a very strong, mm-hmm. assertive woman. And she was not.
Especially after having a kid.
Yeah, having Superman's baby. Jesus. Like, you would have... She would be, like, super tough and, like, making... Lay down the law for shit. But
right?
Not yeah. that... And, you know, he did all these... He did... he took over... Or he still became the... he was the executive producer for X-Men First Class. But they had Mark Vaughn be the director, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took over the X-Men movies after that, which isn't so great. Like, Days of Future Past is okay. X-Men Apocalypse, not so good. That's the one where Wolverine goes back in time.
Oh, right.
I actually really like that one just because there's, like, crossover between the old team and the
yeah,
new team.
Yeah, that was
which
cool.
is good. But Bryan Singer's not, he's not that great. Like, the best thing to me he's ever done is freaking House. Like, he's, like, that's his show.
House was amazing.
Yeah, it's great. Television, fantastic. Movies, no. That's why I'm like, I'm a little concerned about.
Maybe just too many characters for him to.
That's going to be a problem then because Queen is a movie, or it's going to be about a band that's like, you know, it's like four dudes.
Yeah, but that's not like the X-Men cast.
No, that's true. That's true. But also, the thing I'm excited about is that Rami Malek, he's the star of, or one of the stars of the Night at the Museum franchise. He's also in that hit USA series, Mr. Robot. He's going to be playing the lead role of Freddie Mercury.
Really?
Which I'm excited about because I like him as an actor. He's a really good actor.
Do I see him? Yeah, I could see him
he's
playing.
Got, he's got a, he can
I
have
mean,
a look.
I'm just talking about look-wise.
A look-wise. And also, he can, I think from the roles I've seen him on, like he's done other sitcom shows and everything where he does different accents because he's actually from Southern California.
Oh,
yes,
really?
But he can do a British accent as shown in the Night at the Museum movie. So it's like, yeah, I think he can pull that off. But he's from Southern California, and he grew up. I listened to an interview with him and Christian Slater, how he talked about how he grew up with Christian Slater's younger sister.
Really?
Yes.
He got into a lot of trouble, huh?
I'm assuming so. By the way, he had shortened his story about, oh, yeah, we went to high school together. And then that was like, he didn't want to talk anything else about it.
That's
I'm like,
it.
Yeah, I'm sure they parted out. So I'm not concerned about that. I am concerned about the director and what he's doing. Because Bryan Singer, I'm not big on anymore. Like, I tried to give him
Dang,
a pass so
Debbie
many times.
Downer?
It's because it's tough. It's tough times.
What's tough? What's tough times?
It's because, yeah. Like, what? Did you watch X-Men Apocalypse? It was not.
No, actually, I didn't watch
my
that
God,
one.
It's so hard to watch. It's really hard.
I wasn't interested enough to watch.
There's
it
so
in
many characters. I think the issue, you're right. Is one of the issues that there's so many characters in there that get like they get like 5 minutes time in there. I'm like, okay. Olivia Munn was playing Psylocke, which was a character I wanted to see, but she like has no speaking lines. Which a lot of people will arguably say, oh yeah, that's how you keep Olivia Munn. I'm like, I don't care about that. I care that the character should have been more fleshed out. That had maybe if you even got a different actress, I'm like, that's not cool, man. Don't do that. Don't Kelly Who her like that. From like X-Men 2, Kelly Who plays Lady Deathstrike, and she had like five words she said, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a badass in that movie, but she doesn't talk, which I'm like, that's fucked up. Why you kind of let the woman talk?
Up.
Damn, I just thought, wow, man, that is a bummer. Damn, why, again, Bryan Singer fucking it up for me.
But what if it wasn't just him?
He's the lead director, executive producer, and I think he gets a writing credit on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
see?
Then all his bad then.
I mean, not, it's obviously a collaboration with a lot of that because he has a whole team behind him, but.
Right, but with.
Yeah. He's also the dude who wanted to make Beast look like a beast. Like, they changed the way he looked. I didn't like that. Like Beast.
What?
Beast in the First Class has like a more furry, like he looks more like an animal as opposed to a man who looks more like an animal. He looked less like Beast from Beauty and the Beast and more like an actual walking.
Oh, we're talking about Beauty and the Beast.
No, I'm talking like Beast from
like, what?
No, Beast. You know, Beast from X-Men. If you watch Days of Future Past, he looks totally different than he did in First Class.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that was.
I didn't realize that.
Bryan
but now
Singer's
I
idea. He wanted him to look like. Oh my God, it looks so bad. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, it's preference, and I'm hoping with the Queen movie, because it's a the band itself is amazing, and the story of Freddie Mercury is really cool. Like, I like watching documentaries about him and mm-hmm. how good a frontman he was. I'm pretty certain that they will be able to capture that experience. Hopefully.
I hope so. Because I know they do right by him.
Well, I know that the band, the surviving band, they're got consultants on the movie.
Oh, that's good.
Which is good.
Because they know firsthand.
Well, yeah, they know. I would hope that they would at least talk to them, like, hey, can we talk to you guys about this?
We'll do them right, you know.
Yeah, it would be really terrible if they didn't, because I like all of those. I like Brian May, who's the lead guitarist, mm-hmm. and also recent graduate of recent was it? He's now an astrophysicist.
What?
Yeah, Brian May. He left. Cambridge or whatever famous college that's in London to join Queen, and then after like 20 some years of being in the band, decided to finish his degree and became an astrophysicist.
Wow.
That's like, I'm like, wait, what? That is amazing. But yeah,
why not, right?
Yeah, good.
You
for
can
them
afford it now.
I know. They're gonna play We Will Rock You. All right, here we go. What you got? What are you looking up on there?
Oh, the movie.
Okay. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to see it. I think they're supposed to be filming.
They had someone else in mind for the lead role.
Yes. Sacha Baron Cohen was the original lead role for Freddie Mercury. And if you were making it more of a comedy-ish, and I'm not saying that Sacha Baron Cohen can't do serious, but his roles that he plays generally in movies are very over the top, I want to say, or exaggerated.
Oh, he had disagreements with the band members.
Yes. That makes sense. Because, again, he is a loud person. I wouldn't say loud, but he's
like a character actor.
Yeah, he plays these silly roles. I mean, like, was it Perrier? That dude in Talladega Nights where he's that French.
Oh, my God, I love that movie.
I love that movie, and I love him as, like, he was a Formula One driver who joined mm-hmm. NASCAR, and he was so ridiculous as a character.
He was.
I can see why someone would want him to play Freddie Mercury. At the same time, I can see why the band would be like, no, bro. That's not how Freddie acts.
Oh, he made him more of a character.
I'm assuming that he was like a caricature of him.
But, I mean, Freddie Mercury was kind of like this.
A little, but he had stage presence, but he didn't have to do a lot. Like, when I think of a frontman, I think Freddie Mercury, and he has, like, these really cool, powerful poses.
Yeah, but that's not just him.
No, no.
So that wasn't just him.
No, no,
right?
No.
So maybe that's how he was trying to portray him, as constantly being that.
Yeah. Probably.
Larger than life.
Yeah, all the time. Character. When actually Freddie Mercury, like in interviews, he's a very shy, calm, mm-hmm. like aww. Quiet dude. And I'm like, never. Probably struggling with being gay and not understanding how to talk about it with anybody outside the world. And
yeah.
Yeah. Why now I'm thinking about, like, why would you hire Sacha Baron Cohen to be that guy?
Yeah. Like, why was he set up in the first place?
Yeah. Rami Malek, I'm like, he's a good actor. He's actually played a homosexual on TV once or a couple times. He was on a series called The War at Home, where he plays it was a sitcom with, Michael Rapaport.
Oh, you know a lot about this fellow.
I know about that. I watch a lot of Fox TV shows that
He's
get canceled.
Never.
I watch a lot of Fox shows that got canceled, and that was a show that went like two or three seasons. But I remember Rami Malek in it because he was very funny. Because he was his parents were supposed to be like Iranian or something. I forgot what. Middle Eastern country they were supposed to be from, but they were that, and then you find out that he was in love with Michael Rapaport's son, but never talked about it.
Aww.
And it's one of those things where he would keep going on and doing these ridiculous things with him, but it's like, yeah, it's because he's into him. No, like, if you were a girl, you're like, you have a huge crush on him, don't you? I'm like, so I'm like, yeah, it's not the first time he's had to play someone who has to hide behind something like that.
Mm.
But also, yeah, Rami Malek, good actor. I think he got Golden Globe. Twice.
Yeah, I could see him playing that.
Mr. Robot hanging out. I'm just curious on, like, how they're going to do, like, the singing part. Because there's got to be singing in a Queen biopic movie, right? You're going to have to...
Well, they would do, like, the Selena thing, right?
I would
lip sync. She didn't sing. Jennifer Lopez didn't
sing. I was saying, wait, God. But doesn't she sing?
No, can't she doesn't. She doesn't.
Really?
We have this argument with... some of my friends.
But doesn't she sing in real life? Like, I mean, like, isn't she a singer? I mean,
after.
Okay.
She was a dancer before.
I know that. Well, she was Janet's, like, go-to girl in that If video, and not If.
She was a fly girl.
She was a fly girl, but she was in a Janet Jackson. She was Janet Jackson's choreographer before, and she's in a video That's the Way Love Goes, and she was like one of the hottest. That's one of the hottest videos that Janet ever made.
That's true.
Not because of Jennifer Lopez specifically, but that's just the hot video.
Mm-hmm. No, she didn't sing.
Wow, did not know that. Eh, I mean.
Well, I mean, because she can't really sing like Selena.
No. Mm-mm. No. That's funny you mention her, because I kept seeing things on TV today while I was in the hospital about Selena. Like, they were showing that movie Selena, the internet. Like, I was looking at posts about, like, is it her, like, anniversary for something? Or I know there's a track that someone's using that's a sample of her song. Not Jennifer Lopez, but actually Selena. I'm like, oh, what's really? My wife is a fan of Selena, so she's telling me about these things. I'm like, oh, she does not like that movie about her because Jennifer Lopez does not do it right.
Really? Because a lot of people give her a lot of praise for that movie.
You could talk to Lupe about it. She doesn't.
She's a hardcore Selena fan.
Well, I think what it was is that she saw an interview with Jennifer Lopez who had said something to the effect of, I don't know whether or not she was talking out her ass or she just was misinformed, but she felt that the circumstances in which Selena died could have been prevented had her father done things differently.
Oh my gosh. No, she didn't.
I'm like, wow. I don't know. I don't know if that was a thing that was 100% said for sure, but.
But anything close to that isn't.
That's not. Yeah, not cool. Not cool. Not cool at all.
Because that's the blame game right there.
Yeah. Basically, it's like, no, that's not great at all. Why would
she
say
died because of you.
Oh, man. And then she built a whole career off of that.
She sure did.
She made it. She did that movie, Boy Next Door, based on this. Oh, no. Is that what that movie's called? I don't know. I just know that that's a movie where she's like a mother of a teenager who mm-hmm. has a high school boy who she ends up banging inadvertently.
But then he like...
Is Crazy Town? Is mm-hmm. that what it is?
Yeah. She's like, I'm done. And he's like, no, you're not.
Oh, shit. I only know that because I saw the commercial for it on FX. And I was like, what's the deal with this?
I saw the trailers. I never
watched. You saw the trailer. I'm like, I'm not watching this trash. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Jennifer Lopez, if you're not in a comedy, I don't care.
If you're not in a comedy, I'm like, aw. I mean,
Yeah, see?
Okay, I get that. But anyways, but back to the Queen biopic, I really hope it does work out well, and I hope that they are able to, I don't know how they're working out the music scenario, like if mm-hmm. they're lip-syncing. If they are going to lip-sync, you know what, there are some really good songs to lip-sync to.
Well, because he also has a lot of those rough recordings.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. There's a lot. There's so much footage for Queen. Like, I'd listen to their. I'd watch the Freddie Mercury. I think it was called. Was it We'll Rock You or is it The Great Pretender? I think that's the name of the documentary. And there were so many things they had done musically that they were doing. Like, and it's not. And for a lot of people who don't know, he's not the only one who wrote the songs. Like, there's a song called. Was it I Want to Break Free? And it's actually written by the drummer. Like, he wrote it. And mm-hmm. people thought he did. Because the way. You know, because he didn't openly come out as gay, but people assumed he was.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that song, and of course the music video that goes with it is not, does not make it easier to understand that it's not him, because it's mm-hmm. them all in drag doing housework.
Yeah.
Which is awkward, because Freddie Mercury has a mustache, a wig, and a dress on, and a mini skirt. Like, he's vacuuming, and he's singing, I want to. The video's great, though, about how he wants to break free, but people assume that he wrote it. He goes, no, it's not written by me, it's actually written by the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, maybe because he's the drummer and he wants to break free and be the lead guy, but he can't because he's the drummer. But anyways, I'm pretty certain that they'll do. I'm hopeful that they'll. If Bryan Singer's not a moron, he will do right and have the music done properly.
Right.
Because I'm thinking in my head the worst case scenario. They're actually not going to reference any of the songs. Like, you'll go, oh, it's just going to be a scene. Them talking about going on stage to sing a song, you'll hear the first few bars.
No,
and
you
cuts,
can't do a Queen biopic and not have the music.
And cuts to the song, you'll hear it, but you won't get to see them play it on stage. You'll be like Fade to Black or something.
No.
I'm just thinking of terrible scenarios of this because I'm not a fan of.
You're a Debbie Downer.
Bryan Singer's not, his track record is not great. There's good things he's done, but it's not great.
Okay.
Just saying, it's not going to be good. But I really do hope.
But you know what is good?
What's that?
Spider-Man
Homecoming. Yes, we talked about this last week about because we didn't see it yet when we did the recording.
But we saw it.
I saw it over the weekend. We didn't see it together. But did you watch it in 3D or did you watch regular?
3D.
How was it in 3D? I thought about it, but then, you know, the cost of 3D is expensive. Do you recommend it in 3D?
No.
No? Wow.
Well, I mean, the effects just weren't worth paying that extra couple dollars.
It's not a couple. It's a lot. reserved seating 3D. I mean, well.
Is it? Well, see, I get reserved seating, so.
Yeah, same here. Well, reserved seating, so what, it was like $18?
Well, I saw a matinee.
So it was like 15?
So it was $15.
Yeah, we did reserved seating. Yeah, we did reserved seating, and I think it was like, I don't remember how much it was. I didn't actually pay for it.
But I mean, visually, it didn't.
It didn't pop for you enough for that? Yeah. Well, I like that because
I mean,
want to see
cool,
gimmicks.
It's cool, but it's not, oh my gosh, you have to see it again in 3D.
Okay.
Not like Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah, 3D Doctor Strange was pretty awesome.
Right.
I saw that. I'm like, wow. Like when he flies into space and whatnot. That's good. But yeah, I watched Homecoming. I was really excited to see it, as we mentioned in the last podcast. The thing that got me about the movie was, one, there is no origin story. Like, nothing that you visually see.
Yeah, they don't talk about...
No, well, they do. It's briefly mentioned. There's a scene when when Ned finds out... Spoiler alert. First of all, we're going to talk about scenes in this movie. Spoiler alert.
Now.
If you haven't seen it yet, just you can end the podcast and be like, all right, cool, thanks, guys. Because we're going to talk about it for the rest of the show. But there's a scene where Ned and Peter are walking down the street after he's been discovered to be Spider-Man and says... And Ned goes, so wait, you got bit by a spider and it gave you powers? Like, why didn't it, is it still alive? What if it bites me? Do I get powers?
No, it's dead.
And he goes, no, he says dead. That's the origin story. That was
no,
it.
No, but I'm talking about they don't talk about his uncle.
Oh, Uncle Ben. Yeah, they're not. Well, because the last iterations of Spider-Man, we see we get to see Uncle Ben die a couple times. So I'm like, we don't need to see that. And that's okay.
But they don't even mention him.
He says something to the effect of, I don't want to put Aunt May through this because of all the things that have happened to her in the last few years.
Yeah, I got that.
And that's it, which is great. They don't need to.
But it's implied, but someone who hasn't watched Spider-Man, like younger kids, they're like, what are they talking about?
Well, you don't need to. You know what the main focus of this is? Hey, here's this teenager who's been going through all this stuff and wants to be better than he is and is actually given superpowers. What does he do? And he wants to be Spider-Man, which is great. Like, that's the thing that I noticed compared to a lot of the other hero movies. There's no reluctance in what Peter wants to do. Everyone else, like, Steve Rogers goes through it a little bit. Like, he's mm-hmm. like, should I do this? There's a little bit of doubt in the things he does. There's Doctor Strange kind of goes through that at first. He's like,
right.
I don't want to do that. Iron Man goes through that, like, in every fucking movie.
Oh my
gosh. What am I without the suit? What am I without this and that? Tony Stark, just get up. Get over it, buddy.
He's always struggling.
Drink a beer and be good. And then, Peter, he's like, fuck yeah, I want to be Spider-Man. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do this. I like that he did what exactly I think a teenager would do, is you get to see scenes from the Civil War, Captain America 3 Civil War movie.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny.
When he shows like video footage of like selfie, like these videos he makes of himself. He goes, hold on, puts the phone down, and
his video diary.
Yes, his video diary of him fighting in the Civil War, and it's like, all right, cool. Am I an Avenger now? Do I get a call or?
I love how Happy was in this.
Yes, Happy Hogan was. He
he was like, I'm so done with you, kid, but I have to make sure you're okay.
He was great because that was his handler. For anyone who doesn't know, Happy's the manservant that Tony Stark uses, but he doesn't really need him. Like, I mean, I guess he needs him more now because Jarvis isn't around, like how he was. I mean, he has Friday now. But anyway, Happy is like the go-to guy who's like super irritated with hanging out with this teenager.
He's like, I'm trying to get up in this world and I got to babysit you.
Yeah, I know.
He's so done.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's like this dude who's been with Tony for majority of his adult life, and now is babysitting some teenager. What do you expect? He's hella pissed about it. But what I like in the movie is that it's like a good mix of it's a teen drama film, drama
it
comedy.
It definitely is.
And then it happens to be where he also is a superhero, like has superpowers.
Yeah, I love how he's just a kid.
Yeah, which is not what we've seen before. Like, original Spider-Man comics are actually like that, where he's very young. Mm-hmm. Like, you see him when he's, like, 14, and he gets these abilities, and that's how he deals with it. Movie iterations, it's generally older. Like, oh, he's a senior in high school, and he's going to go into the real world shortly mm-hmm. after. So it's a very different type of feel.
But he's not, like, dark and brooding.
No, not... well,
thank God.
I mean...
No, he's not.
No, not that dark and brooding part, but it's not like they didn't... That only happened really in Spider-Man 3 and with the emo Spider-Man. And
okay, but compared to all those other movies.
Yes,
like
yeah,
all
yeah.
of them.
Oh,
he's
in
much
general.
Lighter.
Oh, yeah. He's a definitely. It's a lighter movie. It's a very funny movie. There are some cool parts in it. Like, if you've been in high school, you will relate to what happens in here. Trying to be cool, hanging out, talking to the girl you want to talk to, but you can't.
The most popular girl in school.
Because you're there. The only thing that bothered me is they made that Zendaya from the Disney Channel's Casey Undercover. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? I don't watch it, so I don't know.
I know who you're talking about, but yeah.
They played her up more, being more in the or more involved in the movie than she really is. I mean, not that she's not in it a lot, but her lines are very short.
Well, she has one-liners.
She has, yeah, she's a one-liner chick in there, and they play her like they. She's a very.
But she's done. She's but they're
she's good
putting
in
there
it.
Well.
Yeah, she yeah. put her like how you put it in there. For anyone who doesn't know, they've revealed it that she is the character Mary Jane without being Mary Jane because
she's MJ.
She's MJ. She's Melissa, right? That's her name, Melissa.
Michelle.
Sorry, it's Michelle. Well, because I'm like, what the hell. But she says these lines. But Zendaya, she's a very attractive young woman, and they totally played her down in this, which great for her.
I liked it.
And at the same time, I was like, why are you even friends with them? And then as I watched the movie, you realize that she is there wherever Peter is, which I'm like, she's so into him.
Of course she is.
I watched that and I'm like, she's super into Peter.
Yeah.
Without playing it up. And they don't, I mean, there's no payoff because obviously we got to wait for part two. Homecoming 2.
I don't think it's going to be called Homecoming 2.
Oh, shit. What would they call it? I asked a good question. That's a good. Now I want to know what they're going to call it. But the thing that I also liked was that there's a lot of Easter eggs in there.
So many.
There's so many, and there's references for comic books. Like, if you're a comic book person, you'll see things that you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. Like, the Shocker appears in there. And I'm like, wait, for real? Like, you'll actually see the guy wear a costume that looks like it's not actually legitimately the costume, but it looks very similar, like a real world scenario. Then there's references to the other Marvel Cinema Universe movies. One of the plot points here is that the villain, Michael Keaton's character, he was a guy who had a city contracted to clean up after incidents that happened in New York, that happened in Manhattan in the Avengers film. And it gets taken away from him by Damage Control, which I was very excited to see. Damage Control is the cleanup crew in the Marvel Universe where, you know, oh shit, the Fantastic Four fucked something up in New York. They show up and clean it up. Well, they took away this guy's city contract, and that's what pretty much prompts him to be the villain in this movie, where he starts picking up things from Damage Control from different sites. So you'll see, like, weapons. The weapon that that Shocker uses is actually the weapon that Crossbones used in Captain America Civil War. They modified it, but that's what that is. You're like, oh yeah, that's what they had from the Sokovia Accords. Like, that's what from that incident. I'm like, oh, that's Hilton.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because that's the thing with his hands, and that's what he uses the sucker punch Captain America, and he modified it. That's why it looks like that. And there's a bunch of other things in there. The part that made me laugh the most was, of course, seeing people's reactions to a younger Aunt May, which...
Why?
Well, the main reason we laughed was that, you know, Tony Stark comments on her.
Yeah.
Not the butcher, but the guy who owns the sandwich shop comments on hot Aunt May, because it's played by...
Well, the hot Aunt May thing is like the running joke.
That's the running gag in this. Yeah. It's not as... Marissa Tomei isn't necessarily like... She's not like just about like... smoking hot in every scene, but she is a very attractive woman.
But she's not an old lady.
She's not an old lady. She's not the 60, 70-year-old Aunt May that's generally portrayed. Mm-hmm. She's not a frail woman by any means. She's I don't even know how Marissa Tomei is, but she looks fantastic.
Like, she's like in her 50s, right?
Is she? Oh my gosh. Really? Damn. She can get it, as I've said before.
Oh, really?
Aunt May, she was looking good, but there's parts in there that made me laugh. That were like...
There are tons of parts in that movie that made me laugh.
Like, well, but considering with Aunt May, like, even with...
The PSAs from Captain America.
Yeah, there's the PSAs from Captain America. But the part that made me laugh with Aunt May was that how even Peter's friend was, like, trying to flirt with her. And it's like, dude, this makes it really awkward.
She's 52.
She's 52? She looks fantastic for 52.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Ned is everything.
Ned is great. He is... Peter's funny friend who wants to be the guy in the chair, which, you know what, I want to be the guy in the chair.
But his reaction is, it's like anyone's genuine reaction to finding out your friend is Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, if anyone you found out was...
20 questions.
Yeah, like, how did this happen?
I want to do this too.
Oh, yeah. Can I? He wears the mask at one point, which I was like, how the hell did that happen?
Like, it's so casual, though.
Yeah. What also made me laugh is how he was so willing to help his friend do these things, very dangerous things.
Right.
And it's like, holy shit.
But I mean, true to being a best friend, yeah. you got your back.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to be there for him, especially since he'll get to be part of a hero. Like, he'll be the guy in the chair. He's a Avenger adjacent.
Right.
He wants to be Avenger adjacent. But yeah, I mean, there's so many good things I love in this movie. There's very little things I can think of that I didn't like, and I don't want to ruin it for everyone else who hasn't seen it yet. But for God's sakes, watch this movie.
It's really good.
And I even then, like, Michael Keaton is a villain. He's really good in it. Like, I actually hope they keep him around.
I was really hesitant about him being a villain.
Because he was Batman?
Because he was Batman.
He was Batman.
He's my favorite Batman.
Well, he's also Birdman, which is funny because he's in that movie Birdman.
Birdman.
You haven't seen that? It's that movie where it's supposed to be a shot all in one scene. He was basically, it's the story of an actor who's trying to be serious. If I'm not mistaken, he is an actor who played a superhero, and then he's trying to become a serious actor, but no one like takes it seriously.
Yeah, no, didn't see that.
Yeah, it's actually really good. You should watch it. But it's one of those things where I'm like, he was Birdman and he became the Vulture. But actually, really, part of me was like, I kind of root for this guy. I kind of want him to win out.
You felt for him in the beginning. They did that well.
Yeah. So he's not just the I'm a bad guy. It's like, no, the best villains usually the ones who don't know they're a villain. Not that he doesn't know he's a villain. I mean, he knows what he's doing is wrong, but he has justification behind it. It's like, yeah, I didn't. He has a life he wanted to live. And it's set up very well. Like, you know, like I
it
said.
It is set up very well.
Damage Control takes over. He had a city contract. He invested into all this. He hired more guys, and then they just took it away from him because, you know, he was going to make all this money, like taking all this Chitauri tech. And like, yeah, city's paying it, going to, you know, salvage this. The part that got me was how come no one noticed all this gear? Because it takes place, or they start off from when Avengers ends to now. So it's like 8 years have gone by.
Yeah, it was 8 years. It says eight years later.
So it's like eight years of him stealing technology from Damage Control,
and they haven't caught it. Yeah, that doesn't really make sense.
I talked to another friend of mine about it. It's like it could have been subtle enough where maybe Damage Control wasn't cataloging everything correctly, because they're like, whatever, we got to do the cleanup, whatever, and they just didn't count everything, and then someone takes it, and that's it.
Yeah, I guess.
Especially how they were taking it. It was very slick. So it's like,
that's true.
They were just dropping things off, and then, you know, Vulture and his crew swooping him up.
Yeah, but with those stones.
What they used to teleport phase shift into the cargo. But the thing that gets me is I really hope they keep this villain, because that's the thing that Marvel misses out on, is having good villains. Because, you know, Loki was a fantastic villain, but you can only have him for so long.
No, never, always.
He's not going to keep going. I mean, he even said that he's not going to keep around forever.
Don't ruin this.
Watch Ragnarok. You're going to find out what happens. But did you see the trailer for Ragnarok that was in front of that? The Thor?
No.
It wasn't in... Oh, because you saw it in 3D.
Well, that and I walked in late.
Oh,
you guys wanted popcorn.
Why don't you make Raph go get the popcorn? But anyway, but yeah, the having Vulture as the villain, I really hope they keep him and that they can expand on that. Because there's Spider-Man has a group of villains called the Sinister Six, and Vulture being one of them. They could recruit other villains, may potentially make it look good. After seeing this movie, I can totally see why Sony's like, hell yeah, we're going to make Venom part of the MCU.
You're like, shut that down.
Fuck yeah. It's like, no, well, hold on. Calm down, buddy. Let's wait till the sequel, Spider-Man Homecoming, comes out, and then we can work it out.
Right.
But yeah, for anyone, so again, I mean, we can't sing the praises of this movie enough. I highly recommend it. Can't believe Tom Holland is English, because his accent.
Right, it's so good.
So good. There's an interview he does with Chris Hardwick where he talks about how there's a scene, the scene he did in The Sandwich Place.
Where, oh, he saw that?
where his accent is not on. Like, he says, oh, I actually had it where my accent...
His British accent.
His American accent was not on, and he must have been tired, and he did the whole thing with his original, like, London
but
accent.
But no one noticed.
And no one noticed. And he's like, we gotta change that.
Like, he did the whole entire thing with his London accent.
Yeah. And it's really weird. And I was like, wait, what? What?
And then he was the one who noticed it.
Yeah. Because he watches it, and he's like, why did I not have that? And no one noticed. I'm like... My theory on that is, well, Everyone was tired, and also, I don't know, no one cares. Like, if they actually made Peter Parker English, I'd be like, all right, cool. I'm like, I totally believe if Spider-Man were to talk to me in an English accent, I'd probably listen to him more. Because, English accents are classy. They made Aunt Meg English. Yeah. Marissa told me, I don't think she can do an English accent, but she could try.
Why not?
I'd be into it.
You would be into
it. I like English accent.
Yeah, me too. Loki.
Loki. Yeah. The other thing I'm surprised by is how much emphasis they put on, like, pushing away from the original series. Like, you see him in his original suit for, like, what is it, like, it's the last part of the movie.
Like a second.
But it's not a whole thing. Like, he still has the suit he got from Tony Stark, and it has so much stuff in it.
He gets his suit.
Which one? Are you talking about
when he gets his first suit.
Yeah, the first suit.
He's like, what are you wearing?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He thought he was going to fight in his original suit, and he gets the suit you see him in Civil War. But there's so many things in there. Like, I know that they had talked about it in the trailer. You get to see all the different, like, web shooting stuff he has in there. There is a AI in there, which I like.
AI is the... I loved her.
It's Kara. And then this is a total spoiler. Again, we mentioned a spoiler. But if the thing I liked also is a little, I guess, nod to the previous movies, is that the voice of Kara is her name. She is voiced by Jennifer Connelly. Jennifer Connelly is married to Paul Bettany,
yes,
who played Jarvis and is now Vision. So it's like, oh, she got to be the AI. And she is amazing. She was so good.
She was so good.
I wish, part of me is like, man, I wish my phone would talk to me. Like I wish Siri.
And a little ode to the older Spider-Man movie where they do the upside down kiss.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't, but yeah.
Yeah,
they don't. They try to do that. But I like that Kara, like, he's talking to her about all these things.
His problems.
So, Kara, you're so nice. How much more time do we have? It's only been half an hour, Peter. What?
Yeah, it's like, how much time has passed? 36 minutes.
36 minutes. But yeah, she was great, except for the whole... her protocols for dealing with scenarios is very aggressive, I will say.
Okay, it's so funny.
Like, everything involved, hey, look, there's the assailants. What do we do? Should I activate Insta-Kill?
Insta-Kill was the best. He's like, no, what are you doing? No,
I know. Which I like. There is that he has a conscience, and he as a kid, he understands he can't just kill everybody.
Right, in his interrogation.
I feel like I want to talk about that more, but we're actually over the hour mark, which we can't. But anyway, so for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, please, for God's sakes, watch Spider-Man Homecoming.
You'll have no regrets about it.
I mean, it's a fun movie. Watch it in matinee if you want to. Sarah says don't watch it in 3D.
I didn't say don't. I just said it's...
Well, you said it's not worth it in 3D.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Well, then you don't watch it in 3D.
Well, some people like it.
I mean,
I
personally like 3D if it's done well. I didn't watch it. I watched it regular. I like the soundtrack. The teen, good mix of teen movie / superhero movie is good in it.
Yep.
Stay to the end. There is a really cool stinger.
Some people don't like it.
The stinger?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's two of them. There's two stingers. I like the last part because it made me laugh really hard.
It made me laugh really hard too. But so. Some people were just like,
they're pissed off. Well, because they're pissed off in there. But in any case.
Watch it.
Also, like us on our Facebook page. We're Word Vomit Productions. Also the same name on YouTube,
SoundCloud
on iTunes. We're Word Vomit. We also have our Twitter page, our Instagram. We're gonna be posting up more stuff since we're now gonna be starting next week. We'll have our regular team, which is Sean Vander and Emmanuel. We'll give an update on what they've been up to. Yay! Sarah, will you be joining us next week? Maybe.
Nope.
Oh,
I got plans.
Oh, it's okay. That's all right. But I appreciate you being stepping in here last few weeks.
I've been here enough.
You have, but I like having you here. It's great. You boost our listener sales.
Oh, my gosh, stop.
Female voice. Female voice makes a difference. Spider-Man is a girl. A ton of more people would be into it.
I don't think that's true.
I think that's true. There is a female version of Spider-Man.
Yeah, but.
The Silk. Everyone's into her. She's Asian American, too. Yeah. Anyways, I'm Randy Kings. Here's Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And to all our Word Vomiteers out there, keep it shiny.